This evening, I call your attention to Isaiah chapter 55, a very well-known chapter, and I will be actually reading the entire chapter, which has only 13 verses, so that we have the full message that he has for us, even though we shall be limiting ourselves mostly to one text that will give us the basic idea for the message. So beginning with the first verse of Isaiah 55, let us now hear the word of God. Come, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and he who has no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk, without money and without price. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which does not satisfy? Listen diligently to me, and eat what is good, and delight yourselves in rich food. Incline your ear, and come to me. Hear that your soul may live, and I will make with you an everlasting covenant. My steadfast, sure love for David. Behold, I made him a witness to the peoples, a leader and commander for the peoples. Behold, you shall call a nation that you do not know, and a nation that did not know you shall run to you. Because the Lord your God and the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified you. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, that he may have compassion on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven, and do not return there, but water the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose, and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it. For you shall go out in joy and be led forth in peace. The mountains and the hills before you shall break forth into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the cypress. Instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle, and it shall make a name for the Lord, an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. May God, through his Holy Spirit, grant unto us understanding of this portion of his holy and inspired word. Let us pray together that the Lord will illumine our hearts and give to us the understanding that we need of his holy and infallible truth. Let us pray. Gracious God, we give you thanks for this day which you have made and for the privileges that have been ours in the course of the hours that preceded this one. And small though we are in number, we know that where two or three are gathered in your name, there you are in the midst of them. And we are fully persuaded of your presence with us to instruct us, to apply your truth to every heart, and to enable us to dig even deeper in your word. in order to have that which will make our pathways straight and lead us in the direction that you would have us go. We pray tonight in a very special way for your people, especially in the land of Haiti, but also for all of the other inhabitants who have only seen for so long one tragedy after another, whether brought by weather conditions or by their political situation or by any other means. Grant that peace and order may be restored, and may that land recognize their need of you as the Creator God, the Sustainer of all things, the one unto whom they can place their trust and see great things happen for their sake and always for the glory of your name. Grant your blessing upon each of us as we hear your word, and more so as we attempt to practice the truth that comes from the word of God. These things we pray with grateful and expectant hearts through Jesus our Lord. Amen. As you noticed in the bulletin, the title of our message is simply, "Let us rejoice and be glad." And I hope that all of you will take this to heart, because in spite of all of the difficulties that we face day by day, political uncertainty and dishonesty and crime, and we can multiply all of the bad things that surround us all the time, we still have reasons to rejoice and be glad, simply because the Lord our God is with us, and he has promised never to leave us nor forsake us. And with that confidence, we can continue to advance, even if so much round about us is in chaos. Not only all over the world, but even here, as we very well know, in our nation, here in the United States. The first stanza of a Christian hymn that is actually based on the 12th verse of this chapter just read declares, "On our way, rejoicing as we homeward move, hearken to our praises, O thou God of love. Is there grief or sadness? Thou our joy shalt be. Is our sky beclouded? There is light with thee." And what a tremendous confidence this manifests, which should be exactly the one that all of us carry in our hearts at all times. No matter whatever may be happening round about us, we can move on with uplifted head, knowing that God is directing our paths and that he will lead us safely to our destination. Now, the homeward move here is not to be limited to our earthly abode. Obviously, when we leave this service in a few moments, we shall more than likely be going home. And we can rejoice for that as well. First, because God has given us a house in which to live. He has given us a home where as a family we may gather and enjoy his benefits day by day. But this also refers to our final destination, to which God himself is taking his redeemed. And all that we do here day by day in many ways is a preparation for that ultimate trip, to that homeward trip that we are to take. Therefore, we are to rejoice at all times and under all circumstances, for each new day brings us closer to that better place, that heavenly home where eternal bliss shall be our portion. And this is an emphasis that all of you know very well, the Apostle Paul, especially in his epistle to the Philippians, which has been referred to as the epistle of joy, brings with great strength. It is there in the 4th chapter that he says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again I say, rejoice." He did not say, if conditions are favorable, rejoice. No, rejoice in the Lord always. And I think that the more that we rejoice in Him, the greater will be the opportunities that He'll give to us to rejoice even more, because He's expecting that attitude from all of us. A Lutheran pastor from one of the cities in North Dakota, in one of his writings, he says, God wants us to have an eye on heaven, but not to the degree that we miss His glory on earth. And I like that. We need to recognize that His glory is also manifested on earth in spite of all of the abuse that we see in any society, in spite of all of the chaos that is so rampant near us everywhere. And God profusely shares His joy for the here and now, and we should not hinder its appearance, even in unlikely places and situations as well. When we leave a church service, of course, I trust we truly go on our way rejoicing, taking the message that we heard, the fellowship that we enjoyed, and all of the other blessings that being in the house of God always provides. And that should be the case. And I think this is what prompted the psalmist of old to say, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Precisely because the blessings that he knew he would find there and would allow him to go out in joy, go out rejoicing. We all need uplifts to force us back into reality and constantly renew our joy. Because if we concentrate only on the way things are, on the way that conditions are happening, we would not in any way be desirous to rejoice. We might be concentrating too much on all of the evil, sometimes not even thinking on what resources we can gain from God to take care of all of those difficulties that abound in this world. But as we live our lives in the world, we need more and more to experience the reality of joy while maintaining all of the joys that we already possess. The certainty of our salvation, the reality of our faith, and all of the dimensions of that which God has revealed to us concerning our identity with Christ and the privileges that He has bestowed upon us as His people. I do not cease to marvel each day, even just contemplating God's creation, wherever I am and wherever I go. If we look at the sea, at the sky, at the wind, at the vegetation, at the sun shining, the moon and the stars, besides, of course, all of the people around who were made like you and me in the image and likeness of God. And, of course, to the people of God comes this assurance that verse 12 indicates in the passage just read. It says, for you shall go out in joy and be led forth in peace. The mountains and the hills before you shall break forth into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. What a beautiful picture this is. Something that in many ways we cannot take literally, because we cannot see hands in the trees. We cannot see trees literally clapping their hands. And yet is a reality that we can imagine that is there. Because the psalmist says elsewhere that the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows forth His handiwork as well. So the challenge to you and to me this evening and always is to rejoice and be glad, regardless of the circumstances that encompass us or surround us. At least because of the three things that do not change, which I hope to develop before you briefly in this meditation this evening. In the first place, I would say, because of God's redemption. Let me read just a few verses here, beginning with verse 6, that alludes to that fact. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, that he may have compassion on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. What a tremendous reality this is, that God is always to accept an erring child, a sheep that has gone astray momentarily, but whom he will receive back into his fold to continue making a positive difference for the rest of the flock and to have its life fully restored as well. A great 20th century French thinker once affirmed that joy is perhaps the greatest evidence of a person's Christianity. And I like that. Let us keep that in mind and let us practice that reality on our day-by-day living. That's why Christians differentiated from the rest of the world are men, women, boys, and girls that can live cheerfully, joyously, all the time, no matter of all of the decay that surrounds them. Quite apart from all of the difficulties that seem to be the daily pattern before our very eyes. Scripture speaks about God himself putting a new song in our heart and on our lips. And this is indeed what has happened since we committed our all to him, since we responded positively to his call to salvation, knowing that we are not doing that on our own, but through the power of the Spirit that was guiding us in his direction to benefit from all of the additional blessings that he will continue pouring upon us. More than that, the Holy Spirit, who provides that total transformation in us, is what causes us to reject the values by which we formerly operated. That's why the Apostle Paul also emphatically declares in a passage very well known to all of us that he or she who is in Christ is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Everything a redeemed person does is accomplished, of course, from a new point of view, from a new perspective. The Christian has been given new life, a new set of priorities, of values, of perspectives, to live the full and abundant life that God has granted unto all of us. And the only ones who are not doing that, the ones that have a tendency to complain about everything, is simply because they are not appropriating on a daily basis all of the unlimited resources that God is dispensing to us for our growth, for our joy, and for keeping us where we should be, and even elevate us beyond that point to the heights into which God himself continues to call all of us his people. What before was ruled by hatred is now governed by joy. And what a difference that is. What before was faced with fear is now met with joyful expectation. Although this bad happened today, we can anticipate much good that the Lord has promised in the days to come. And to the extent that we raise our expectations and act in that direction on the basis of the empowerment of the Holy Spirit in us, we shall be able to achieve those very things for His glory and for our joy as well. And what before provided only momentary satisfaction has been replaced by what can bring enduring happiness for us. And keep in mind, I'm not alluding only to major things in life, even some relatively insignificant aspects of our daily living are to be viewed from this perspective and the difference that it makes. I remember reading many years ago in one of the books by the late Dr. E. Stanley Jones. He was a well-known Methodist evangelist, a godly man, one who stood firmly upon Holy Scripture, even though by now his own denomination has gone in a very bad direction, unfortunately. He had spent the bulk of his life in India, having influenced many authorities in government and in other fields in that country. E. Stanley Jones still came back to the United States to retire here, to continue writing, to continue speaking, as long as God gave him a voice and the energy needed to fulfill those tasks. But he tells an interesting story about a man who had lost his eye, and he had to have the space replaced by an eyeglass. And he said to the doctor who was putting it in, "If you have to give me a glass eye, please put a twinkle on it." A good idea. I don't know to what extent the physician was able to comply with his request. But rather than bemoaning that situation, he was still hopeful that even with a glass eye, there would be a twinkle there. There would be a note of joy that he could spread wherever he went by people who saw him. Yes, beloved, even in our pain and deprivation, we may have victory as we go on our way rejoicing, remembering that we are not our own, but we have been born or bought with a price. Those of you who formerly were actually reared in the Christian Reformed denomination of which this church is a part, you are doubtless well acquainted with the Heidelberg Catechism. And I like that statement of faith, which was divided when it was first produced into 52 Sundays as an aid to the preachers in taking care of the bulk of Christian theology every Sunday of the year. But the very first question, as many of you may know, simply raises the question, what is your only comfort in life and in death? And the answer is that my only comfort in life and in death is that I am not my own, but I belong unto my faithful Savior. And it goes on describing the nature of that Savior, which you and I know quite well. And how liberating indeed is this reality that we are not our own, but we belong to Him who purchased us with His own blood. Now, because of God's redemption, we have a permanent channel of access to the very source of joy. A joy which endures amidst the heavy blows of our contemporary existence. And Martin Luther, when he issued the Protestant Reformation in the 16th century, even while his own life was in jeopardy, he was always moving every day with the possibility that he might be executed, or that he might be kidnapped, that he might be put in jail, or that his very life would be taken away from him. He wrote that magnificent hymn that we all know and love, "A Mighty Fortress is Our God," based on Psalm 46, which you normally refer to as Martin Luther's psalm. And in one of the stanzas, as you may recall, he says towards the end, "Let goods and kindred go, this mortal life also. The body they may kill, God's truth abideth still. His kingdom is forever." And that is the assurance that we need to hold on to, besides many more that the Word of God provides us in the midst of all of the sorrow and despair and the sin that prevails in our society. But we can put ourselves above all of that, and whatever our way may be on a daily basis, we can be truly rejoicing. I remember reading some time ago a very interesting and true story about an orphaned cub tiger whose mother had been killed by hunters. So, little as he was, disoriented as he had become, he went through the forest until suddenly he came into a farm where a herd of goats welcomed him. They knew that he was small and therefore not dangerous, and they treated him first class. They gave him everything that he needed, to the point that the little tiger, the baby tiger, started even bleating like a goat, eating the same food that goats ate, and doing everything. He thought that perhaps he was a goat, because he played and he bleated and everything else he did. But one day, when he least expected, he was able to see at a distance the king of the forest come by. It was a fully formed, mighty tiger. And he noticed that baby orphaned tiger there, living with goats, who immediately, upon seeing his presence nearby, disappeared. But the little one remained there firmly, observing, finding some familiarity, even though he had never seen one of that size. And the tiger cub remained bewildered in many ways, but unafraid for some reason. And then the big tiger picked him up by the scuff of his neck, brought him over a still pond, and helped him to take a look at his own reflection on the calm waters of that body of water. And then the king tiger offered him a piece of real tiger food, which the little one had never experienced before. It was strange as the taste was. The little one ate more and more of it as something began to happen in him, we are told. His whole being began to change. Suddenly, he let out a mighty roar, which could be heard all over the jungle. At least, or at last, he knew who he was, because he had seen the king. And beloved, we have seen the one to whom we belong. Let us act according to his precepts, according to his directives, doing what he expects with us, and moving through life in spite of all of its conflicts, with the confidence that the fact that we belong to him can give to all of us. Nothing in this world can give us greater joy than the assurance that we belong to the King of the universe. And once his, we are forever his. And we are safe in the arms of Jesus in this life and in the next, simply because his infinite love and redemption. Now, secondly, on our way rejoicing not only because of God's redemption, but on our way rejoicing because of God's truth. Let me read to you from the passage that we read this evening, verses 10 and 11, where the author, the prophet Isaiah, says, "For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there, but water the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it." Once we are redeemed, as I trust all of us truly are, not because we are members of a solid congregation that preaches the Word of God faithfully, but because of that personal relationship that we maintain with the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and recognize that our sins have been wiped out since we embraced the salvation that Christ provides for us. Yes, because we are redeemed, we need to go out in faith, and thus we have a divine revelation to ensure our growth, our continual growth, and the maintenance and increase of our own joy in the world, day after day after day. Therefore, we need to be exposed to His truth. And I rejoice that you are faithful in coming here not only in the morning but also in the evening when your pastor is teaching, opening the Bible, leading you verse after verse, explaining the meaning and the implications of what is written there. And that way, and only that way, we can continue to experience the growth that God expects from all of us and which His Holy Spirit works in us. Obviously, it is not limited only to church on Sundays, because daily in our homes we need to be fully exposed to the truth of God, always examining the Scriptures the best way that we possibly can. It is only when we deviated from God's revealed truth that we face an absence of His joy. And I have heard that repeatedly. I think even this past week, in something that I was reading, some leader made reference to the fact that as long as he's studying the Word of God and reading the truth of God, he is full of power and strength and the desire to do things that otherwise he would not even think of doing. But if he retreats from that, his strength is diminished. His enthusiasm is also gone. And so many other bad things would occur simply because of that distance from the truth of God, which, when becomes our daily portion, will inspire us to move forward with courage and to accomplish things that we would never think imaginable that we might be able to do or that we would be willing to do. And I think King David, after his many, many great sins that he committed, when he finally came to his senses, in one of his laments to Almighty God, he also made this petition: "Restore unto me the joy of my salvation." And that he could find only through fellowship with God and close contact with His truth, as found in God's holy word. Dr. John Maxwell, whose name is familiar, I'm sure, to most, if not all of you, a Christian leader and one who speaks to very large audiences worldwide and author of so many wonderful books, in one of his writings he says, "Who doesn't need a pull in this world of setbacks? Who doesn't need a pat on the back in a world that kicks us in the seat of the pants. And we know we all can agree with him fully and realize that all of us and many, many more. Again, God's word provides all those uplifts and assurances to the child of God. In Psalm 42, as many of you may recall, the question is asked, "Why art thou disquieted within me, O my soul?" And the answer given quickly and very simply is, trust in God. Trust in God. Put your full confidence where it should be deposited. And be sure that you live by that power that so many people would wish to have, but because of their own neglect, even among Christians, they are not receiving the full benefits of that contact and that fellowship that God provides to us. So this we do by increasing in the knowledge of what he has revealed in his unchanging truth, the Bible. His word offers us a variety of prescriptions on how to fulfill, maintain, and also increase our joy. Many years ago, when I was still ministering in California, I never forget the time when some preacher, suggested that a good practice for any individual would be daily to take a joy break, just like we have our occasional coffee breaks. Let us have a joy break. And I think that was very well thought out. And it's something that we can pretty much manage to do. Instead of bemoaning our faith, instead of concentrating all of the horrible things that the world continues to dispense and to its citizens, let us have a joy break. Let us concentrate on what God has already done, on what he has promised yet to do, and what he may be doing for us at that very moment, in spite of conflicts that surround us and that give us difficulty. And just as we often share with friends, let us also spread that joy. Let us open our homes as places where people can come and sense something different there. Not only because of who dwells there, but because what can be dispensed unto them as well as a special gift from above. It has been observed that the best way to fight off the blues is to help someone else lift his or her load. And I like that. We tend to be so self-conscious and so self-concentrated that we realize that just a word of cheer can make a positive difference in the life of other people. And I'm glad, and I don't boast about this, that God has given to me personally, I would not say a personality, but at least a disposition to bring comfort and encouragement to other people. That has been one of the features of my own life, which, as I said, I do not boast because it's simply a gift from above, and I want to be a good steward of that gift. But because what you already have, because what already flourishes within you, you have the equal opportunity and power to be that light that shines forth in the midst of so much darkness in our world. Let us use that more frequently, because we never know that even people with many beautiful smiles round about us may be suffering something deep, for which a word of cheer from us, a word of comfort that we may offer, will make a very positive difference. At least lead them into thinking more deeply into what the real problem can be. A Christian psychologist by the name of James Kilgore, I think he used to practice in Atlanta, if I'm not mistaken, but he was also author of many books, several of which I was privileged to read. And in one of them he said, "The flower of happiness is rarely cultivated in the garden of isolation. Happiness is the warmth of another's response and the planting of seeds that bloom into smiles on the faces of our friends. Well put. And I think that God is very pleased when we can be His instruments in bringing that about in other lives as well. So, beloved, let us rejoice and be glad. First, as I said, because of God's redemption. Secondly, because of God's truth, our only rule for faith and conduct. But also, thirdly, because of God's power. Let me read to you once again verses 10, 12, and 13 from this 55th chapter. It says, "For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there, but water the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater." And verse 11 and 12, "So shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose, and shall succeed in the things for which I sent it. For you shall go out in joy and be led forth in peace. The mountains and the hills before you shall break forth into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands." Keep in mind that in doing all that is asked of us, we are simply instruments in the hands of God. To the extent that we can give ourselves wholeheartedly to Him, He is going to do for us and through us the things that will make a positive difference in the world in which we live. A couple of verses of the hymn, "This is My Father's World," as you may recall, refer to the fact that all nature sings and round me rings the music of the spheres, manifesting, of course, the Creator's mighty power. And Psalm 24 and verse 1 declares that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell in it. The power which created and sustains the universe is available to us also in mending our fragmented lives, in offering many settings where joy may truly explode within us, making a difference for those who are near us. And it's precisely such power that enables us even to smile through tears, to be joyful even in the midst of pain. And God gives to many, including to many of us, that ability in those times when we don't know whether we can take one more step. But to the extent that we remain as open vessels, He will do that for us and also through us for the benefit of many more. And such truth, of course, can be understood even by a child, though we adults so often fail to grasp its reality many times and the unlimited possibilities that are left open for all of us. A Lutheran pastor by the name of James Bjorg tells about his own father's experience with Parkinson's disease. And he recounts that his children knew him only as an invalid. They were not able to play with grandpa. They were not able to enjoy him in the way that many grandchildren can still enjoy. But as this pastor recounts that his children, even though they knew him only in that condition, when he died, the eldest child, who was only about 8 at the time, said, "Grandpa is in heaven now, and I'm sure God has fixed him up." And I like that. because God has promised to give us new bodies, to give us so much more that earth could ever bestow, because all tears shall be wiped away from our eyes. There will be no more sorrow, nor pain, nor death, because all the former things have passed away. Yes, because of God's power, we are brought through this life and eventually led into the next, where God shall remove all sorrow, all tears from our eyes and from our beings. And there shall be no more any of those things that I just referred, that the book of Revelation brings so graphically before our very eyes and ears. And there shall be nothing of that, because the former things have passed away, as Revelation 21 and verse 4 makes it so clear. You may recall that several decades ago, there was a popular expression that we used to hear and sometimes find in bumper stickers in the car in front of us that simply said, "Keep the faith, baby." And of course, many of the people who said that or who carried those slogans did not have the proper connotation. But as Christians, we can have the right way of looking at that. Keep the faith. And the perpetual message that we can also keep is precisely what I sought to bring to you this evening. Keep the joy. Keep the joy. For you shall go out with joy and be led out in peace. And this is something not only on Sundays, but every single day is the day the Lord has made for us to rejoice and be glad in it. Therefore, let us rejoice and be glad each new day that comes. And let us do so because of God's redemption. If He condescended to do for us what we could never do for ourselves, but to transform us completely, we have reasons for joy. We have reasons for greater expectation. Also because of His truth that can remain open before us at all times, where we'll find the life that we need to be injected into us and through us to pass on and to others as well. And of course, because of God's power, which is abundant, and He will never withhold from us, but provide so that we may use it for His glory, for our joy, and for the good of so many lives that we hope to touch for Him. Let us pray. Our gracious God and Father, we give You thanks for the privilege of being here as Your people to reflect on something that Your Word brings to us. And we pray that we may go out with joy indeed, knowing that You do not give us joy only for a season, but Your joy is constant and it can be renewed continually, so that the supply will never be lacking for us. Grant us a safe arrival at our homes tonight, be it with others that were not able to be with us this evening. Strengthen them and give them a greater desire to gather here as frequently as possible, to hear Your truth proclaimed and taught, and then to live out in their daily experience those truths that binds us to one another and to You. These things we pray through Jesus our Lord. Amen.